When you think about guys going against the grain and guys that have been very successful at it, Tommy Biffle's name comes to the top of the list. And Tommy, you and I have had an opportunity to be in a boat together a few times, and against the grain is probably a real easy way of saying sometimes you get in some places that nobody else goes to.
Yeah, Terry, I like to look for those places. You know, somebody tell me I can't get there, I can't go there, nobody ever fishes there, that's just right down my alley.
Well, you know, I look back, and you and I fished a classic where we went into a beaver pile, and that's been long history storied mess that we were in, you and I, but we got out of that mess. And then I look at last year in Oneida, and everybody said the smallmouth was what's going to win it, and you went and caught largemouth and won the tournament. So you've got a long history of that. Also, the long runs, I mean, is that something that, it's a Tommy Biffle trait, but it's not something that you take lightly.
No, you know, I like to run and get away from everybody, and that way if you find them, you have them to yourself. You don't have to worry about somebody coming along or three or four people finding the same school of fish. So I do like to make long runs, you know, and gas prices are high, it kind of shortens your runs, but, you know, that's the thing, to get away from everybody.
Well, let's talk a little bit about this year. I mean, you've had a stellar year. You've been phenomenal this year, and already locked into the Classic pretty much. You got one event to go at Toho, but you've pretty much got yourself ready for another Classic opportunity, and you've also got kind of a history of second place in the Classic, and I'm sure that that probably is a big, big goal for you, is to win that thing.
Yeah, I definitely want to win the Classic, and, you know, it's just a goal that you had ever since you've been fishing, but, you know, main thing is to make it and get there and be there for your sponsors. So, you know, I need to win it. And when you go to the Classic, you fish to win. And, you know, second, third, fourth, doesn't mean anything really.
Well, I know, you know, this recent edition of Skeet Reese finally getting over the hump, you know, he had a lot of seconds too. And, you know, you talk about that, it is kissing your sister type of a thing. You get second and you're happy about that because it's pretty good money. But in reality, it's that W that really means the most, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Well, reflect a little bit on the year so far. You've had a good year. You've been in the top group almost every tournament, and, you know, in the top 50 just about every one. And, you know, what's been different for you this year? I mean, what are some of the things that have made this a good year for you?
Oh, you know, I'm just kind of having a normal year. I had a pretty good year the year before. But this year, you know, I thought if I could get through the springtime, the betting tournaments, and get through it in good shape, you know, that would be great, and I did. So I really thought I would be a little bit better off than I am right now. I had a bad tournament at Erie, and those smallmouth, and I could catch them pretty easy, but I just wasn't catching ones big enough. And the short day of calling the tournament off that one day really hurt. But, you know, I've had a good year. It's just, you know, main thing is getting through the times that you struggle in, and that's usually when they're bedding or spawning for me. But, you know, I figured out now if I just get in there, I can catch them as good as they can. So I don't like to fish for spawning or bedding fish, but if that's what they're doing, then that's what you better be doing. And, you know, it seemed like this time of year, you know, I've had three or four good tournaments the last three or four, and it gets on up into summertime. The fish are doing what I want them to do. So, you know, main thing was just get through that first part of the early season.
Well, I reflected a little bit ago on the Classic that I rode with you in, and, you know, everybody knows Tommy Biffle, flipper and pitcher. You know, you and Denny have probably got the reputation more than anybody else, but that particular tournament, you were ledge fishing and with a big worm and that kind of stuff, catching a limit pretty quickly, and led the tournament, I think, on day one. And you look back at it, and, you know, a lot of people don't think you're, you know, you're anything but a flipper and pitcher, but you're far from that.
Yeah, I can catch them anyway. You know, at home, I like to fish deep. I fish a lot of ledges, a lot of deep brush, and, you know, but the deal is when you get in that situation, you got to know what you're fishing. You can't go out there in 3 days practice and find the good ledges and find the good brush piles if somebody hadn't already keyed you into the area, how deep they are, and gave you something to look for. And I very seldom ever get any help. So, you know, 3 days of practice, it's just hard to find those deep fish, and it's a lot easier to catch the shallower fish, so that's what I concentrate on.
Well, have you found, I mean, even, you know, the guys that get a ton of help, I mean, I know myself, a guy will say, well, you know, you catch them in 6 foot of water on stumps or whatever, and even if they show you that, it's sometimes difficult to replicate what they're telling you, and you got to really fish your style.
It is. It's hard. It would be real hard for me, and what I would rather do is, you know, go out and find my own fish, and that way if I do good, it's good, and, you know, I don't have to worry about you know, somebody getting help from somebody and trying to find them. So, you know, it's hard to fish another man's fish, and the best thing is go out there and work hard and catch your own fish.
Well, David Walker recently said, you know, that the advent of GPS has made average fishermen great ones, and you know, I think he's right. I think, you know, GPS, you know, you can get a waypoint or you can get something to put you in an area that maybe it'd take you 10 years to find on your own. What do you think about that? I mean, what's your opinion about GPS and some of the technologies we're using now?
Oh, the technology is great. You know, Lowrance and GPS and the locators are so much better now. And the GPS, you know, I was always really good at lining up. I could be, you know, half a mile from the bank. And if I could see a tree over there and I could see a tire over there and I could see a house over there, you know, I could I could line up and I could find those places. But when you get out there and you're out farther than what you can see the bank, that GPS is wonderful. I mean, it's probably better than a trolling motor just about. I've had tournaments that I've won by the GPS just because the river was flooded and I could see a guy's pond over here on the GPS or a small lake and cut through the woods. And if you didn't know that was there, you would never know it was there, and it was on the GPS. So, you know, it's a great tool. I use it all the time.
Well, you think back about it. I mean, it wasn't that long ago. You've been in this business a long time. So you think about some of the rod selection and some of the reels we've got now and the line selection and the baits and everything from a technology standpoint has gotten better. It's gotten lighter, and you're able to do things more with it. I can remember the first rods, you know, were Skylines. You know, the graphites, they weighed as much as your trolling motor did. But not anymore, right?
Yeah, the rods and reels have advanced so much, and, you know, the flipping sticks, they're super light now, super strong. They're 7-to-1 reels, you know, that Quantum's made. They're the burner reel. It's just awesome. You know, everybody, I fought to get the burner reel made, and, you know, we couldn't put big enough gears in it. Well, I figured out how to put the gears in it, and so now I'm looking for a 10-to-1 because I've just about gone all 7-to-1 on the burner reels, so... you know, anything faster and better is always better.
Well, you want to get them in the boat and give them a nice boat ride back to the weigh-in. There's no question about that. Well, you look at the technology. You talked about trolling motors a minute ago, and, you know, that even has increased the ability to be able to get where you want to, not worry about vegetation and some of that. And I know Motor Guide's big there for you. Is that something, you know, you see the boats getting better and all that other stuff as well?
Oh, yeah. The trolling motors, you know, when the... 109s or it was 107 really. When it first came out, we had them, or I had one for a year before anybody else had one. And was testing it for Motor Guide, and, you know, I'd win every trolling motor race, and I couldn't figure out how my trolling motor was so strong. And now the thick mat doesn't matter. I mean, we've got trolling motors, we've got 109s, we've got really good props for the real thick, heavy mats to cut through. You know, we just fished a tournament the other day over at Potomac, and it was just thick mat just everywhere, and guys were just cutting through it like it wasn't even there. So you know, it's all, you know, just evolves, and it's just more technology and better, and the boats are better, you know, so it's just a whole lot better than it was when we were first started 20 years ago.
All right, you brought it up, I didn't. Let's talk about the Potomac a minute. You know, you we're in the top group and had a real good chance to shot at winning this tournament. Skeet, of course, did. And you made a decision on the final day to change some water. Reflect back on that now that it's over with. Would you have done it again?
Well, I figured out, you know, I was in third to start. And I figured that's the only chance I had to win. Skeet would have to stumble a little bit, and I would have to catch a 20-pound bag. And I knew where I was fishing, the tide was wrong. The tide wasn't going to come in to dead low till 2 o'clock. And that was another thing that you know, Lowrance has helped us with on the locators. They you poke a button on the, put it on a little T on your chart, and it tells you the tide table right there. You know exactly when the tide's going to be, exactly where it's going to be. So it was 2 o'clock. Weigh-in was at 3 o'clock. You know, I had a 20-minute run to get back. I didn't have long to catch them. So I knew the tide was wrong. So the tide way down south was low at 8:30, and it wasn't a bad call, you know. Only bad thing was there wasn't any fish there. So I fished in that creek years ago, maybe 10 or 15 years ago was the last time I was in it, and I caught a couple of 4 and 5 pounders. So, you know, it was worth a gamble. I hadn't been down there in 10 or 15 years, but, you know, I'd do it again. And, you know, maybe it'd turn out different. But if you're not there year after year after year to see how much rain they have, see how much salt influx they have, you know, I went down there, the salt water wasn't in there. We running back through there, and it was just crab traps. There must have been 500 crab traps, and the cameraman going, oh, there's a lot of crab traps in here. And I said, oh, I hope they quit. And, you know, we got back there, and they quit, and I got there, and, you know, I run far back up there as you could float your boat and tasted the water, and it was fresh water, and there was no barnacles. So half the plan was right. This wasn't any fish there.
Well, you know, it's funny because, you know, you look at it, and the guys who've been in the sport a while, you know, you really are trying to hit the home run. You're trying to win. And I kind of anticipated you saying exactly what you said because I know you so well, but, you know, you're going for the win, and that's what it's all about, and that's what you did, and you can't really, you know, say, oh, I wish I'd have done this or done that, and you didn't. That's what doesn't surprise me a bit.
Yeah, you know, Terry, if I'd just fished my fish where I'd been fishing, and, you know, I may have caught a 14, 15, 16-pound stringer or something and, you know, come in second or third or fourth or whatever it would have been. But I wouldn't have been fishing to win. So long ride back to Oklahoma, and I didn't want to sit there and think I should have went, you know. So I went. Now I don't have to worry about it.
Well, yeah, and you know, hindsight's always 20/20. So you go, oh, man, I should have caught the 14-pound bag. But you wouldn't have done it. I don't believe... You know, knowing you as well as I do, I don't believe you'd have ever done it, and I don't think you'd do it the next time. I think you're going to try to go for the home run, and that's I think, the part about Tommy Biffle that I've always known. You know, you're not going to try to get second place. You're going to try to win them.
Yeah. If you end up second, you know, that's what it ended up. But I'm going to try to win every time I get on the water. So, you know, I don't feel bad about my decision. I'm several thousand dollars less, but, you know, you got to try to win.
Well, I get the final thing that I always give you the most guff about is the gray hair. You know, when I first met you, a dark black, dark brown hair. What happened to the, I mean, the Grecian formula in the program?
No. You know, I tease Indians, they all, and all of them putting highlight in their hair, trying to color their hair. I'm just leaving mine and hope it stays in.
Yeah, that's right. As long as you got hair, that's all that matters, right?
That's right, as long as it stays in.
Well, we'll give Zell some trouble next time we see him about his, you know, coloring his hair for sure. You and I are good friends of he as well, and... We'll definitely have to give him on here and give him some trouble about hair color. What do you think?
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to help him out and break his poppers for him. I tried to break him a few years ago, and he's had a rough year this year, so I believe he's throwing that old popper too much.
Well, you and I had the opportunity to eat dinner one time at a classic with Zell, and you told him then you were going to run him through a shredder because he needs to fish other stuff, and I think it's kind of funny because it's kind of paid out for him, hasn't it?
Yeah, you know, he's done good over the years, but this year something, the wheels fell off or something, and so we're going to have to get on him again and line him back out.
Yeah, that's right. Well, Tommy, I appreciate you being with us at Bass Fan Radio. Best of luck at Toho, and look forward to seeing you at the Classic in February.
Okay, thank you, Terry.
I'm Terry Brown. This has been Bass Fan Radio.